Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
I think we'll just go right back in where we left off. We were in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to go right into the whole concept that John here is still writing to the Jewish believers. There's nothing of Paul's gospel in here per se, but I'm always following that up. That doesn't mean that there aren't things here that we can use by application, but you cannot go back in here and say, well, here's where we are. No, all you can do is just compare notes, and if this is in parallel with what Paul writes, fine. If not, you leave it alone, because it was for the Jew. All right, now I think we're going to see a good explanation of that here in just a little bit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, where John says, you are of God, little children. Now remember, that's the term John has been using for these Jewish believers. But we also, you know, Paul refers to us as the children of God. All right, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, that is, the false teachers, the ones who were trying to mislead people. You have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, now that's certainly true of us, isn't it? We know that the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, and he is certainly greater than the powers of Satan, providing we give him opportunity to function. All right, but now I'm going to go on to verse 5. They, that is, the false prophets, the false teachers, they are of the world. That is, the whole world system. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. In other words, the things of the world are interesting to them, and vice versa, but not to us. All right, now verse 6. Why? Because like these Jewish believers, the same way with us. We are of God. We've had a change of thinking. We've got a change of appetites. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. In other words, we can have conversation with fellow believers, even as they could. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and, what other spirit? Error. All right, now let's go back and see how Paul deals with it as he writes to us Gentiles. And I'm always going to emphasize that because Paul does. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. And until we realize that, we'll never fully comprehend Scripture. All right, now this apostle of Gentiles is writing to a Gentile congregation in the Greek city of Corinth. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, I could just use the whole chapter, but I guess for sake of time, I better jump in at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's jump in at verse 7. Now remember who he's writing to. He's writing to Corinthians, Gentiles, believers of Paul's gospel of grace. They are now understanding that not only was Christ the Son of God, but he died for their sins and rose from the dead. That's why we use 1 Corinthians in that first half hour. All right, now then, to these same Corinthian believers, Paul writes, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In other words, Paul is going to reveal things that no other portion of Scripture could reveal because God had kept it secret. Now, I didn't intend to do this, but I've got to. You know, when I come to something like that, I've got to. I can't help it. Come back with me to Romans. Romans. Why does Paul use this word? Because the Holy Spirit, of course, inspired him. But more than that, for the scenario of the whole thing. These things revealed to the Apostle Paul had been kept totally secret to all the rest of Scripture. and to the whole world in general until it was revealed to this man. That's why he claims that unique apostleship. He had things revealed to him that Peter, James, and John never did understand. And Peter says it in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 16. He says, in Paul's epistles are what? Things hard to be understood. Why? It was beyond Peter. See? All right, but here's what he says in Romans 16, verse 25. And I've said it over the years until I finally got in a seminar where there were some people who've been under my teaching now for quite a while. I finally got a raise of hands. But I can ask seminar after seminar all over this country, have you ever heard a Sunday morning sermon preached on Romans 16:25? Almost never. Now I can say almost never. Almost never. Why? Because they don't like what it says. It takes away their thunder from preaching in the four Gospels. And here it is, Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And I showed you the last program, the one before, Paul's gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. That's Paul's gospel. All right? To establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the... There's that word again. What? Mystery. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the secret, the mystery, which was kept secret since when? The ages began. That's why nobody, all the way up through human history, until we get to this man, had an understanding or had been told to believe that the Son of God became flesh and went to that Roman cross as man and as God, and there took upon himself, as we pointed out in the last program, all of the wrath of God of the sins of this world were laid on him. That was never revealed. Now, in latent language, Isaiah 53, we know what it says. By his stripes we're healed. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. But that didn't really tell the whole story. But when God revealed this whole thing to this apostle, now it becomes then a revelation of the mystery. Things kept secret since the ages began. Well, now the companion passage with that concept is Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now this is what we call laying line upon line and precept upon precept, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And here again the apostle makes it so plain that these are things the rest of the Bible know nothing of. Only Paul's epistles. Alright, Ephesians 3, verse 1. And watch the language. It's so plain. For this cause, that is, because of the grace that he's been espousing in the first two chapters. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. And on he's been bringing it out. Now look what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner... Now remember, he's in prison in Rome. The prisoner of Jesus Christ, but for what people's purposes? Gentiles. See? The prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Why? Because he's the apostle of the Gentiles. And everything he's been out there preaching has been to the Gentiles, which of course infuriated his kinsmen according to the flesh. And so they prompted his arrest. Sure they did. All right? Now then, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. Now, I've pointed this out to people. Read it. And they don't know what I'm talking about. Read it again. Don't know what you're talking about. Read it again. And then finally, you have to prevail upon them. Just read it like a kid is reading his first grade primer. One word at a time, and maybe you'll get it. If you have heard of the dispensation or the outpouring or the revealing of the administering of the grace of God. Now, here's where I want them to go slow. Which is given to me to you. Now, listen, that's not gobbledygook. That's plain English. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. That from this man was given to the Gentile world these revelations of things that had been kept secret for all of human history. And they refused to believe it. Well, I can't help that. I want to make it plain. And then the monkey's on their back, not mine. And here it is, that you better understand that this whole revelation of things that had been kept secret, because it really was moot so far as Israel was concerned. They were looking for the coming king and the kingdom. But unknown to them, God's going to interrupt that kingdom plan, and he's going to drop into the Gentile world with this tremendous gospel of the grace of God, which Israel knew nothing of. Israel was steeped in works and sacrifices and temple worship. The prophets and the Old Testament, you name it. But here comes this man with a whole new revelation that God will save the vilest Gentile or Jew when he simply believes the gospel. And oh, that throws a curve at people. But here it is, plain as day. Now read on. Verse 3. How that by revelation. That's another one of Paul's favorite words. A revealing. An unveiling. How that by revelation he, the ascended Christ, made known unto me, not to us, me, the mystery, the secret. And I wrote before in few words. Now verse 4. Whereby when you read, that is Paul's epistles, when you read, you may understand my, and he's not an egotist, this is Holy Spirit inspired. How that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery or the secret of Christ. Now that the Son of God was to come to Israel and be the King and the Messiah, and that was no secret. The Old Testament was full of it. But that he would come and offer salvation to the whole human race by faith plus nothing? No, nobody had a concept of that until this man. And that's what he's preaching. Salvation by faith because of God's grace through nothing. All right, now verse 5. Now remember, this is Holy Spirit inspired. This isn't the apostle's dream work. The Spirit is prompting him to write. Verse 5, which in other ages or generations or all the way back to Adam, it was not made known to the sons of men as is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. Now listen, Paul refers to as his co-workers in the ministry as apostles and prophets, such as Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus and so forth. But he's not referring to the 12, he's referring to those who were in ministry with him. Alright? Next verse. Verse 6, that the Gentiles. Now, I think over the years, I've certainly made it clear that Jesus and the 12 had no ministry to the Gentiles. None. Except for that one instance when Peter went up to Cornelius. And that was for Paul's benefit 12 years later. But other than that, they had no ministry to the Gentile world. They agreed to confine it to Israel. And we'll look at that in a little bit if we've got time. All right, but let's go on. That the Gentiles, verse 6, should be fellow heirs. Come right into a relationship with the Creator, God Himself, and be of the same body. That's why Paul alone refers to the body of Christ. No one else. Only Paul uses that term, the body. And be partakers of His promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. not by works, not by baptism, not by what something can do. It's by believing the gospel. Now, verse 7. Whereof, that is the gospel, I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, which is given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Now, verse 8, here comes the man's humility. Don't ever accuse the Apostle Paul of pride and arrogance. He was just the opposite. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, I've been saying it over and over, especially in my Oklahoma classes for the last year or so. I don't believe there's a person in this room. I don't believe there's a person in my whole television audience. I don't think there's a person on this planet that can comprehend all that God did in that work of the cross. It is so beyond human comprehension what the God of creation proclaimed and worked through that death, burial, and resurrection, through that shed blood. And as I've been emphasizing all afternoon, how that Christ suffered for the sins of the whole world. Hey, I can't comprehend that. Nobody can. What was all involved in the fact that that shed blood, that divine blood of the Son of God, would satisfy the righteous demands of a holy God? It's beyond me. What little bit I take by faith, and I'm waiting for glory to get a full understanding, and I think you will have to too. There is just no way we can understand it. They're unsearchable. That's the word. And unsearchable means just exactly what it says. It has no bottom. All right, read on. One more verse. Verse 9. And to make all. Now, the word men has been italicized, but nevertheless, it means the whole human race now. Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor, makes no difference. That he can make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. These things that had been kept secret. And then he says it, which from the beginning of the world, from the beginning of creation, this whole concept of what we call the gospel of the grace of God was hid in God. The same God who delegated Christ to create all things that are in the world. Now, before we go back to 1 John, I'm going to stop at 2 Peter once again to show how that Peter, and of course, I'm sure the others were in accord with him. No, I'm going to stop first at Ephesians. I'm sorry. Back up, honey. Back up a page to Galatians. From Ephesians, come back a page or two to Galatians. Chapter 2. Because I know we've shown this over and over, but you can't do it enough. And if no other reason, I'll say I'm going to have a new listener today that has never heard it before. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. And this was after a day-long argument between Peter and James and John's concept of what the Gentiles should be doing to get full salvation and what Paul and Barnabas says, no. And James and Peter and John were saying they had to practice circumcision, they had to conform to the law of Moses, or they couldn't be saved. And Paul just dug in his heels and he says, I'll never agree to that. And then Peter finally came to his defense, remembering what had happened at the house of Cornelius. That's why I say that the whole reason Peter was sent to Cornelius was to help Paul off the hook back here in Galatians 12 years later. All right, now then. After that whole, almost a day of arguing and discussing. Verse 9. And if you don't get it this afternoon, read it again before you go to bed tonight. Read it when you get up in the morning until this thing starts soaking in. And when James and Peter and John, the very same unfolding as you've got in the little epistles, not Peter, James, and John, it's James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars. Their whole Jewish economy at the temple was falling apart. And in a few years, the temple will be destroyed. So everything that was concerned with the apostles' ministry is falling through the cracks. And so when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived or got an understanding of the grace that was given unto me, there's that personal pronoun again, they, James and Peter and John, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. And those of you who hear me every week, you know what I'm talking about. It was a gentleman's agreement. They shook hands. And Peter and James and John said, "All right, Paul, we see it. And we're going to make a gentleman's agreement that you go to the Gentiles and we will stay with Israel." Now read it with your own eyes. Just read it with your own eyes. "And when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship." That's what we call a handshake. And here's the agreement. That we, Paul and Barnabas, that we should go to the heathen or the Gentiles, and they, put in the verb, would go to who? The Jew. That's plain English. Man, you don't have to be a PhD to understand this. It was a gentleman's agreement. Okay, Paul, you and Barnabas, continue on your ministry to the Gentiles. We're going to stay with Israel. That's exactly what it says. All right, now then, look what Peter says when you get back to his last little epistle, shortly before he's martyred. At the end of his life. And he's written his little epistle here in 1 and 2 Peter, addressing it to the 12 tribes scattered. 2 Peter 3, huh? 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. Verses I've used over and over, and I make no apology for it, because this is what people have to wake up and realize. Even Peter admonished his Jewish adherents that now the end of the Jewish program is about to fall, and it will with the demise of the temple and Jerusalem and the Jews scattered. So now even Peter has to realize where these Jewish people have to go for their spiritual instruction. All right, here it is. Verse 15. "Account, understand, that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even," now watch this, "even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him." That's what Paul refers to as the revelation of the mysteries. This was wisdom that Peter, James, and John knew nothing of. And so Peter says, "You go to Paul, and according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you." Verse 16, "as in all his epistles." I think the word he's talking about first is Hebrews. But that's speculation. I can't prove that, but it would almost seem as though he's referring to Hebrews. But now verse 16, now all his epistles, what are they? Romans through Philemon. Romans through Philemon, those are Paul's epistles. And Peter says, "speaking in them," Romans through Philemon, "of these things." But in which, these epistles, "are some things hard to be understood." Peter says that by inspiration. He couldn't comprehend it all. Peter was a legalist. Peter was still under the whole Jewish program of the law and the prophets and the coming of the king and the kingdom. And to be able to understand that all that now has been set aside for the time, and God is going out to that pagan Gentile world. Now listen, do you realize what the Gentile world was in that time? They were the pits compared to Israel. Israel had the sanitation laws. Israel had the food laws. Israel had the moral laws. The Gentiles had none of that. They didn't know what sanitation was. Do you realize that hospitals in Europe as late as 1600 or 1700 still knew nothing of antiseptics? And it was a Jewish doctor who finally prevailed upon them that when they ministered to sick people, they would wash their hands from one to the next. Because as they were going down that hospital ward, they were just simply passing the bacteria from one to the other. The Gentiles had no common sense on those things. The Jews did, because they'd had it from antiquity. But now even Peter says these mysteries revealed to the Apostle Paul were beyond him. He couldn't comprehend it. All right, now let's read on, and the time is up. All right, in which are some things hard to be understood, and they who are unlearned and unstable twist. And oh, they can twist it like you can't believe. My, they can twist Paul's epistles. But what is the admonition? They do it also to the other scriptures. Now, you know what people have to realize? When Peter says the other scriptures, what is he confirming that Paul is? Scripture! Scripture! When Peter says the other scriptures and he compares it with Paul, then he puts everything into the same basket. Everything throughout the whole Old Testament, the Gospels, the Acts, Paul's epistles, these little epistles, it's all Scripture. Now, what more proof do you need? All right, and so now then he says that as they twist Paul's Scriptures and they twist the rest of Scripture, what's their end? Destruction. Doom. Not a pretty word, is it?
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.